That is an interesting song, isn't it? And what is the name of that song? It's called I. It's by Kendrick Lamar. We just heard here at the very beginning, here at the outset of today's Backstage Pass only program. Now, I want to express to all of you my gratitude to Phil Hendry and to his staff for allowing me to come on the program today and to express myself. Because you see, as Kendrick Lamar has just expressed to himself, and let me tell you, I've got some gas that I'm dealing with here right now. I want to tell the people in the studio here. I had a blue cheese and very delicious blue cheese and onion chop salad last night. That was the chop salad. And I like blue cheese, and I also like white onion as well as red onion. And I do love myself. Well, you're asking, who are you? And that's a very good question. My name is Dan Mixa, and I am a professor of engineering. I worked at University of Washington and other places of higher learning. And I'm on the program here today to talk with you about loving yourself and being who you are. I also mentioned the fact that I had blue cheese last night, as well as a red onion and white onion sandwich, because I've got a number of people from the press. I've got a couple of writers here from some of the local Washington periodicals have come to cover me hosting this version of the Phil Hendry Show Backstage Pass Only Saturday show. And Phil felt that this was a good place to start to give you an idea as to who I am and what I'm up against and why I am wanting to express to all of you my impatience, I think, with the attention that's been paid here recently to what some people consider to be my bad breath or the lack of hygiene, oral hygiene, that they seem to think I exhibit. Well, I will tell you that I have great oral hygiene, but I'm not about to put my own health at risk so that we can further fads. And I think as I look at some of the assembled writers here and some of the media that have come into the studio here, and if you take a breath and you smell onion or gorgonzola, you smell the smell of let's say, decomposed gorgonzola. And there is a very distinct difference. There's a difference between gorgonzola cheese and decomposing gorgonzola. The cheese that's between my teeth right now is from last night, not the night before, the night before. I thoroughly brushed before I had dinner last night. I have not had a chance to brush today because I had to get up and come directly into the studio today. And so I can see on the look of some of the members of the media here who don't have the form. I think they're not as polite, let's say. Don't have the sensitivity to my feelings, as I would have to them. No, you don't. You are looking sick to your stomach and holding your noses because you want me to understand that somehow my breath is so bad that you can't sit and listen to what it is I have to do. No, my breath is not bad. My breath is simply my breath. I think what many of you are used to are a lot of people who take mints, they chew gum, and they try to clean their breath up that way. Well, I brush my teeth. I wash with water. I conduct myself in as hygienic a manner as I can, but I'm certainly not going to starve to death. You understand what I'm saying? This coming summer, I am going to be conducting a series of one-on-one interviews with many of my finer students from our engineering classes. Now, these are going to be down and dirty, one-on-one, face-to-face, to find out where their vision lies, and also, by the way, where their loyalty lies when it comes to these questions of breath, my breath. Are they going to stay in class next year? Are they going to go to another professor and perhaps learn from someone who is substandard? Because they've got a problem with the fact that I've got breath, because I have breath based upon a cheese or some kind of an onion dip. If you've got breath based on onion, or onion-based breath, if you want to say gorgonzola-based breath, or you have decomposing tri-tip, that is between your lower teeth, or perhaps there is a wedge, a good-sized chunk of decomposing tritium that is wedged between some of your teeth, and that begins to decompose, it's going to begin to hurt people, according to what some people might say. Now, here is what I'm trying to say. If you want to spend your time worrying about and wasting your time getting gum and mints and fluoridation and brushing your teeth, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's not going to help, you see. I'm not going to rot my guts out and turn my blood into a stream of peppermint and give myself a case of diabetes, because I've been chewing all kinds of gum and I've been sucking on mints and sucking on candy cane so that I can sweeten my breath to the point where someone who has no intestinal fortitude can't sit there like a man or woman and listen to what it is I've got to say, even if I've got a funky-smelling mouth. It's early in the morning, and I understand that. Then I don't know what this world is coming to. It's early in the morning. I'm going to have the same smelling breath as everyone else. It's not going to smell good. The difference between me and a lot of people who have breath that is lousy in the morning is I'm not going to waste my time running around trying to find mints or peppermint candy or brushing my teeth any more than I already did. I brush once, that's all I need. And while I'm running around doing that, I'm missing out on opportunities to get into the classroom early, to start getting some of these papers organized, get some of these tests organized, and start interacting with my students one-on-one. I get right up in their faces, and I say, what do you want to be in your life? Now, there have been one or two students that have said, when you say, what do you want, there is stench that is exhibited, and the source of it is not important. Just the stench itself exists and exhibits. All right? So that's the most important thing, I think, that we have to understand. Now, if stench is exhibited and presents itself, then you have to ask, what are we going to do about it? We can ignore it, or we can cry like women and children and grandmothers and so on and so forth. I personally feel that if I get up in the morning and I go into the classroom and I go, hi, and for whatever reason, my students begin to shift uncomfortably in their seats, put their fingers to their noses, or in some cases, and I actually watched this happen last year, one of my students, who I guess thought he was being funny, reached down into his pants, the back of his pants, as if he was putting his fingers right up the crank of his ass, and pulled those fingers out and put those to his nose rather than smell my breath. And I said, you know something, why don't you stand up for the rest of the class? And he did. His name was Charles Roundtree. And I said, Charles, I know that you're doing that to embarrass me. He said, no, sir, I'm not. I said, well, there's no way that you're going to get me to believe that jamming two fingers right up your own arsehole and then putting those to your nose is a preferable thing to smell than a little bit of fetid gorgonzola stink coming from my gut. That would be, when I say gut, of course, I'm talking about the stomach as well as the small intestine. And he said, Professor Mixa, I have to tell you, he says, I'm telling you the truth, sir. I would rather smell my own ass, which I barely wiped because I was on my way out the door rather quickly because I knew I'd be late for this class this morning. He says, and I'm here under protest. He said, I want this class. I need this grade. And I certainly want to hear your lecture, even though I know what to expect. And that is that you're going to open your mouth. And while very important things do come from these lectures of yours, I am completely distracted by the funk and the fetidity and the lousy way that your mouth stinks as the result of whatever it was you shoved in your gut 24 hours before. I said, well, isn't that a nice speech? I said, but you're still standing there holding your fingers to your nose. He said, yes, sir, I would rather sniff these than smell your breath. Well, I'll tell you, I was hurt. And I told him that. I said, I'm very hurt by that. He said, I don't care. I got to get it done. And I said, what do you got to get done? The class says, I got to get the class done, but I've also got to get this done. That is surviving these few minutes here with you, smelling what's coming out of your mouth. Let me explain something to a lot of you, which I know you probably don't understand. I'm a teacher. It's what I've always been. It's what I enjoy being. At one time in my life, I was involved in untraditional or non-traditional kinds of work. But I suppose in many ways you'd think that those works, vocations and that kind of work made sense for a guy like me, Dan Mixa. As a professor of engineering and as an intellectual, as somebody who has been around, I'm certainly a man that I think you can all say is well-versed in the ways of the world. And so I'm not about to let my own lousy breath stop me from doing what I've got to do, which is teaching my students. This man I was telling you about, Charles Rountree, I said, Charles, I want to see you after class. I said, because I think you and I need to work one-on-one on some of these projects that I'd like you to undertake for next semester. And he said, sir, I would ask you to please reconsider. And I said, why are you saying that? I knew I was saying that. He didn't want to sit down one-on-one smell my breath. He said, I'd rather not say. I said, well, I can tell you why. I said, you don't want to sit down with me one-on-one and smell what I got coming out of my mouth. He said, you're right, sir. I said, well, I don't want to sit there and smell your fingers. He said, I'm not going to be sticking my fingers under your nose. I said, but the fact is that I'm going to be sitting in the same room with you, and you're going to be sniffing your fingers that you wedged up your ass as something preferable to what I'm exhaling. And I said, that alone is going to distract me, piss me off, and I won't be able to concentrate on anything other than and I use this word, and excuse me, ladies, if you're listening, those of you who are sensitive to this kind of thing, but I said, how fucked up your fingers smell. And he stopped me, and he said, my fingers may smell fucked up, but your breath is fucked. And that's the way he put it. I said, well, we got nothing more to talk about. He said, that's good news for me, because I didn't want to come in here in the first place. And I said, you know, all I wanted to do, he said, can I leave? And he kept trying to push away from me. And I put my arm around him, and I got up and close in person, because this is the way I am with my students. I put my arm around him. I said, look, I tell you something. You're one of my best friends. And his eyes started to water, his face flushed, and he began to, what could only be described as foam at the mouth. And I said, what's the problem? And he shook his head, and his eyes watered, and he put his fingers up to his nose. I said, you're smelling your fingers. He said, no, I'm trying to pinch off the air that's in the immediate vicinity. I don't want to smell the air, because most of it has been funked up and messed up and totally jived out by the funky, funky smell of your breath. I said, see, that's what I'm talking about. And he said, it wafted, and it hit his nostrils running. And that's when he felt weak in the knees, and he collapsed. And I had to call the school, the school medical office, and they did send some people down to deal with this. They said, what happened? I said, nothing happened, or the fact that my rights as a free citizen to eat and breathe what I just ate on anyone I feel like breathing it on have been violated by this individual who would rather smell the crack of his own ass than my breath. And they say, he's a student. I said, yes, he is. And we'll take it up there with the dean of men. I said, that's his problem, not my problem. So that's a lost opportunity, see? That's what I'm trying to say. A lot of you who are in the media and in the room here, in the studio here with me this morning, have been writing letters to me asking, do you understand that your breath's lousy? And the answer is always going to be, no, I don't. Not because I'm trying to make up some sort of innocence here. I honestly don't understand that at all, no. I don't eat, for instance, any kind of unnatural foods. I'm not kind of a guy that's eating things that would putrefy in the gut. I'm not the kind of guy that is going to, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to go out and take handfuls of garlic and just chew on it. I don't take handfuls of onion and just chew on it. I don't take handfuls of ripe, rich, fetid cheeses, such as the blue cheeses, Roquefort, and so forth, Limburger, and that kind of thing. I do enjoy a good Limburger. There's no question about it. I enjoy Gorgonzola. No question about it. I enjoy all those foods that one would say are traditionally foods that stink like there's been some sort of a death of a organic form somewhere in the making of this. When you make Gorgonzola cheese, did someone die? Well, I said, no one died, but I can tell you this. Make Gorgonzola cheese, and you'll die from the joy that you feel, from the enormous joy that you feel, when it comes time for you to eat that. That's the only death I know about. And so there's one other kind of death, and that is the fact that Gorgonzola cheese, once it comes in contact with your mouth and you chew on it and you swallow it and then the breath follows, that's not good. That's bad. As well as some of you have to ride by yourself. It's because I think that the smell of my breath should not have anything to do with how life goes. I don't care if someone is not strong enough to take the stink that's flying out of my mouth. Because in the end, that's on you. That's not on me. That's on you. A lot of times I'll say to my students, I'll say, I want to do a one-on-one conference. I'll put my arm around and say, hey, how you doing? And they'll say, I can't stand this any longer. I don't want to smell what's coming out of your face. And I said, that's on you, not me. That's on you. That's not on me. On you, not me. On me, not you. And so I said to, I said to this kid, why don't you just go ahead and suck it up? Come on back for this one-on-one after the class. We'll do a one-on-one. And the kid said, I can't stand it. I can't stand the smell of what's coming off of you. I said, that's on you. That's not on me. He said, yeah, you said that. So we got to the elevator, and this kid, to be childish, let one go. And I mean, he broke wind, and it was as bad as it gets. Now, I realize this sounds childish to you. I realize we're talking about bad breath, and we're talking about farts. But when a young man who is a member of my class, a student of mine, refuses to meet one-on-one with me after class because he says that I stink from the mouth and the pits and maybe even the crotch, I don't know, and then he gets into an elevator with me and lets one fly, then I gotta ask what's going on. Eh? What's happening? What's happening to that young man? What's happening to his moral fiber? What's happening to the moral fiber of a young man like that who can't suck it up, stand there like a man, take a good deep whiff of what I got coming out of my face, and still in all realize that's Professor Mixa, and I need to get a good grade in this class. Otherwise, things are going to be really going south pretty fast. That's what I was talking about. That's the thing I want to do. So I think what we're talking about here more than anything else is manning up, being the kind of a guy, or gal for that matter, who can come into my classroom and get serious about what it is you want to learn. All right, I'll take questions now from the media. Jerry.
Professor Mixa, we've had countless students say they can't take your class anymore because the classroom itself stinks.
Well, they say it stinks. What do you mean?
It stinks in the air smells. The air, your breath stinks the classroom up, you see?
Well, yeah, I understand that you're talking about my breath.
Yes, they can't get into, they don't want to come into the class.
Well, you've had a lot. I'm sure you've had contact with disgruntled students over the years.
Well, it's not disgruntled, though.
Well, hold on, let me just finish. You've had contact with disgruntled students, I'm sure, over the years. And you've had contact, I'm sure, with young people over the years that have said, well, I don't like this guy's clown, why that guy's, you know, this guy's too tough, this, so on. So they're going to say that, you know, his breath's, talk about how bad the class is.
No, but they're talking about how bad your breath is. How bad your breath is.
Right, that's what they're saying, you see. But what we're talking, what are we talking about? What are we really talking about?
Professor, can we,
Hold on, let me just answer this, gentleman. What are we really talking about?
Well, what I think what we're really talking about is that we're talking about how lousy the breath is.
Right, how lousy the breath is. But when you're saying, well, this is how lousy the breath is, what they're really saying, though, is that Professor Mixa is a guy that is going to lean on me, and he's going to try to get everything he can out of me, no matter what it takes. You understand what I'm saying? So I found that to be, in my opinion anyway, to be the overall, that's been a fact for a long time. You know?
No, do you understand that nobody wants to be in your classroom because of your stinking breath?
I understand I've got bad breath, yes. I get that. There's no question about that. There's no question that people don't like my breath. Do you understand we're taking a half an hour here to talk about my breath and not about the quality of student that can't stand up like a man and complete the coursework that I've given him because I've got gorgonzola cheese on my breath, because I've got seeping out of my pores the stink of a kind of cheese garlic, because I do tend to eat foods that putrefy and sit and stink in the lower portions of my stomach and the upper reaches of the small intestine, so that once the putrefaction takes place, what you've got is an odor that is reminiscent of, rotting meat or decaying flesh. Well, it depends, you see.
Oh, and why would anybody want to be in a classroom like that?
I don't know. I would imagine because they want what I got, you see.
Yeah, but what you've got...
What I've got is a class on engineering.
Yes, and a very good class on engineering. But what you also got is the lousy breath.
Yes, I understand I got the lousy breath. How long you want to talk... Generally, is this what you people want to talk about?
Well, you invited us here for that.
I invited you here for a very... I invited you here for a candid freewheeling discussion, okay?
Well, this is about as candid and freewheeling as it's going to get. Because this is what has been the major problem here. The problem is that your breath. When will you understand this?
I understand that I've got bad breath. So do you, Harvey.
All right, then I'm willing to change that.
And it may not be to my satisfaction. What if you went tomorrow?
Well, I don't think that... No, I don't agree.
I agree. I think that you could tomorrow, or today, right now, you could... Because you do have lousy breath. Has anybody told you that?
No one's ever told me that. I haven't, no.
So you haven't noticed... Well, I noticed that you've got lousy breath. And I mean, it's lousy. All right?
All right, so what game are we playing here? Is this sort of putting the shoe on the other foot?
It's not doing anything. I'm saying that your breath... is lousy. So here's what I would say. I would say that I'd like you to change your habits so that your breath doesn't stink. Now, if you can't do that, then I would have to say that disqualifies you as a great writer. If I was playing your game.
No, that's ridiculous. I'm saying because your breath is funky, because your breath stinks to high heaven... it doesn't mean you're a bad professor, but people are not going to take your class.
Well, because your breath is lousy, I don't want to talk to you, and I don't want to buy your newspaper.
Why wouldn't you want to buy his newspaper?
Because I know the guy who wrote that column has got, just like you did just now, you just belched up onion dip, didn't you?
I had onion dip. I don't believe I belched it up.
Well, I'm telling you, you did.
Well, why would that not want you to buy his newspaper?
Because I am reading an article by a guy, all right... I'm reading an article by a guy who I happen to know belched up onion dip.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. It's not ridiculous at all. Why would that be? See, I'm saying my mind goes to the memory of your lousy belch that stank. And so because my mind is there, I can't preoccupy with anything other than that.
Well, I think, let me just say this, Professor Mixa.
By the way, are you interviewing me or am I interviewing you?
We're interviewing you.
Then don't make a speech. As my good friend Phil Henry says, please don't make a speech. Just tell me what you want to say.
Well, I'm all right. Question for you. Have you ever had your teeth checked for gingivitis or halitosis?
I've had my teeth. I've gone to the dentist to have cavities filled.
No, that's not the question. Have you ever had your teeth checked for gingivitis or halitosis?
I have no idea. Maybe.
Well, has any doctor ever told you you had that?
I don't know. All I can tell you is I have had fillings. I've had decay. I've had cavities. I've had two or three teeth pulled because of full decay, and I've had three root canal.
All the root canal and everything else. But have you ever had gingivitis or halitosis?
Let me just tell you what. I've had root canals. I've had caps. I've had full crowns put on. I've had teeth that have been pulled and never been replaced because it's pointless, you know. Take a look at my teeth. See that?
Oh, God.
Yeah. What do you mean, oh, God? Why don't you smile, Harvey?
All right.
Yeah, your teeth are lousy.
Well, they're not as bad as yours.
Oh, no, Harvey's teeth are crap. Your teeth are... you might as well just pull all your teeth. I would, if I were you. I would pull all my teeth, as a matter of fact.
Why don't you pull yours?
Hey, you know something? I'm beginning to think that you are here to provoke me.
No, sir. I'm trying to get a straight answer.
Well, I'll tell you this. Why don't I pull mine? I don't need to pull my teeth, all right? But as long as you guys are talking about how rotten my teeth are, as long as you're asking me about gingivitis and halitosis, I'm saying to you that Harvey, sitting here right across from me, ought to have all of his teeth pulled. That's how rotten they look. Now, you're the guys that requested this.
All right, so my teeth look right. Would you go in with me? Well, I'll have my teeth pulled if you'll have your teeth pulled.
Well, what kind of a weird... you know...
Well...
That is just a very strange and very weird and very sick thing to request, I think. It's just a very strange and sick thing to request. I don't know how to answer that. I'm not going to go and have my teeth pulled because you, Harvey, get your thrills that way.
I don't get my thrills that way. I've been trying to point out to you, and you've just told us that you've had your teeth. You've had teeth pulled. You've had root canal. You've had decay. You've had some teeth pulled that you haven't replaced. And yet you've never had gingivitis or halitosis.
If you're asking me, have I ever had a check for that?
Yeah, have you checked it?
No. Not that I know of. Why?
Because that'll tell you if you've got rotten gums.
Here again, you guys concentrate on breath, breath, breath. And I'm sick and tired of it. You know, I'm just sick and tired of it. I've had my teeth pulled. I've had cavities filled. I've had three or four root canals, for which I do not use anesthetic, not because I get a kick out of the pain, but because the deductible on my dental plan is such that I would rather go ahead and endure the pain of having my tooth drilled all the way down to the nerve root and take my chances with the agony of that than have to pick up on the deductible, the cost of the anesthesia. That is going to be at least, that'll be part of that deductible. See what I'm saying? So I would just as soon sit and have my mouth filled with blood through a root canal than have to sit and listen to you guys talk about how my breath is bad. I have I've got the healthiest teeth of any guy that's had five or six root canals and has had teeth pulled that he couldn't afford to replace. Take a look at my teeth, see?
Yeah, you're missing like three or four in the front.
Right. A lot of people say I've got a smile like a hockey player. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. Now, you put that together with the fact that my breath smells like egg and onion, and yet I am still able to communicate to my students every day with breath like gorgonzola, egg, and onion, then I think I'm doing a hell of a job, even though I've got a face on me that looks like Leon Spinks crossed with some revenant vampire from a hole in the frozen Romanian crust, you see.
Thank you.
Is that all, gentlemen?
Yeah.
All right, well, thank all of you. I thank all of you, rather, for being with us here on the Backstage Pass show today. I'm Dan Mixa, trying to clarify as much as I can the concept that my breath is rotten and will continue to rot. But I will never, ever, ever give up on my students. And that includes this summer's one-on-one. conferences that I do have planned. Ah. Yeah, oh, see, now I just got a whiff of that.
See, that's what we're saying.
Yeah, that was bad. That was really bad.
That's what we're saying.
Well, what, do you got a rocket in your pocket? What do you mean, we?
Well, we're saying that that's...
Oh, shit. I'm Don Mixa. I thank you very much for joining us here on this Backstage Pass show. This show is produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved here on Podcast One. I'm Don Mixa. See ya down the road here. Thanks.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Fuck.
Would you help?